From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the Great Lakes State, man. What a fun day we're going to have today. Show being brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Third year in a row working with Lucky Buck. Very happy to have them on board. Lucky-Buck.com. There's a link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. Also being brought to you by our newest partners, HHA Sports. HHA Sports is the number one single pin site, and they have got such a great system, man. Go check them out on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. There's no question why they're number one in single pin archery sites, and also doing a great job with some crossbow sites. And our new partners in archery, Darton Archery, celebrating 65 years being made in the USA. Michigan company out of Hale, Michigan. Darton Archery, the manufacturers of the brand new Rebel SS-135. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff from all of them, and you can find them again on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And we're going to include Darton Archery in the conversation today. We're also going to include our friends from Safari Club International Lansing in the conversation today. But first, we're going to start off with probably the second time we've had somebody that has had a new world record on the show. The first one was a world record brown trout a few years ago, and now we have a world record elk taken with a crossbow. Al Henderson is the gentleman's name, out of Wyoming. Al, how are you, sir? Welcome to Wild Michigan.
I'm doing good. How are you today?
Doing well, sir. Doing well. Probably not as well as somebody that just recently had an officially declared a world record elk taken with crossbow. Congratulations to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Big elk. What did it score? Let's get the important stuff out of the way first.
The official SCI score was 426 and 1/8 inch.
426 and 1/8. You know what? A lot of guys, if they get a three, gals included, if they get a 300 class elk, they're doing very good.
Right.
426. And tell me how you went about this hunt to begin with.
Well, it's a long story. I had a good friend of mine. Has hunted with me for years since we were in high school. We've chased elk. We recently took up archery probably 10, 15 years ago. His nephew was with us on the hunt. He had an out-of-state tag in this area that we were hunting. I told him all week, I'd killed a nice bull the year before, and I told him all week, you've got first shot. And he killed a nice 6-point bull, and they were still bugling above us in the canyon, and my friend and I left him to track his bull, and we went up the canyon, and we were chasing another nice bull, I would guess around a 350 bull, trying to get close to him, and then we spotted this big one, and I don't remember seeing any other elk after that.
So he got a nice one, you know, and everybody is around congratulating yourself. But how did this one present itself to you? I mean, how many days into this hunt was it that you took this record elk?
Well, we had gone into the high country in this area, up into the wilderness area, to begin the hunt. We went in on a Saturday morning, and we spent 2 days looking for elk, and we saw four elk total. Usually the basin that we were in is full of elk. We saw four elk. We saw six hunters. And so we packed up our camp, came out of the high country, drove all day into the night to get around to another part of this area. And so we were probably our fifth day into the hunt, sixth day, but we had moved. We didn't move camp very far as the crow flies, but the way that we had to travel, it took us a full day to get our camp moved. And so the second day we were in the other part of the area is when we actually got into this bunch of elk and got this one.
Speaking of Al Henderson out of Wyoming, Al is the new world record holder for a bull elk taken with a crossbow, officially scored by Safari Club International. Al, here in Michigan, we have elk. They're in a very limited range. We can use trail cameras, things of the like. Elk hunting Wyoming, Arizona, New Mexico, places like that, very different. There's a lot of travel and a lot of glassing involved.
Oh, yeah. You know, when we were up in the high country, my friends were on one ridge, I was on another ridge, and we were glassing three major drainages right at timberline. We like to get up high when we hunt. Usually it limits the number of people that we have to compete with, and those first couple of days, you know, we glassed until our eyes almost bled looking for elk, and we just couldn't find them. They just weren't there. And so we just decided we've got to move camp. We went to a different location, and boy, we got into a bunch of them. It was one of those days that you'll never forget.
Now, describe the process. And I know resident tags and non-resident tags are very different. But for a resident, describe the process in getting drawn for an elk in Wyoming.
You know, there are no preference points for residents in Wyoming. The out-of-state hunters have preference points, and after a few years you're just about guaranteed a tag. Some of the areas, even for non-residents with their preference points, they might have to wait 10 to 15 years for some areas. The area that I was hunting in is actually not my first choice. I did not draw the limited quota tag that I wanted. We have an area that's quite close to where I live. You know, I can get there easily every weekend if I draw that tag, and I didn't draw it. I was pretty darn mad at the time, as I always am when I open my when I check the online draw results and find unsuccessful next to my name. But you know, since the hunt finished, I haven't been all that angry about not drawing my limited quota tag.
No, I think you're good. I think you're good. Speaking with Al Henderson, of course, Dart and Archery are our newest sponsor. Very happy to have Dart on. They're a Michigan company. And Al, Dart played into your hunt a little bit as well. I told you off air about my elk hunt here in Michigan, 2013. I drew an any tag. A friend of the show, who is the chief of wildlife here in Michigan, called me to say, "Hey, you drew an any elk tag." And I said, what do you mean? I put in one application. I had to borrow a friend's rifle and I had to stay on the cheap and I had no clue what I was doing. It was the most traumatic experience yet rewarding at the same time. And I don't know which was more out of the thing, but you had to go through something similar yourself.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, I've got some great friends here that live close. Some of them I've grown up with, others I've gotten to know lately. You know, two of my friends, Bill Loveland, Larry Michaels, they're the ones that got me started into archery. Bill came and rode one night with me on a tractor while I was plowing late. And he says, "You've got to come with us." He said, "That's the most amazing thing that I've ever experienced." And so, you know, and my finances are pretty limited, and I'm kind of cheap anyhow, and I couldn't bring myself to spend the money for a crossbow, so I borrowed my friend's, and it's an old Darton. Probably it's got to be 10, 15 years old, an old Darton crossbow. And we hunted for a lot of years with that bow. He let me take it every fall. He doesn't quite have the disease to the same level that I do.
Sure.
So he oftentimes doesn't go hunting and just sends his bow with me. And my wife she was the first one in the family to kill an elk with a crossbow. And then my two sons followed up. And then Larry's stepdaughter killed one last fall. So, you know, we've killed a lot of elk with that old Darton. And another good friend, Mike Agard, he had seen this old Darton perform, and he saw one on Craigslist, bought it dirt cheap on Craigslist. And that was the bow that I actually used to kill the trophy, is the one that Mike bought on Craigslist this last fall.
All right, that is amazing. The Craigslist Darton crossbow that comes into play on a world record elk. We're speaking with Al Henderson. He is based in Wyoming. We are Wild Michigan. We're going to take a little break, Al. We're going to come right back with you because we're going to find out how this all came to be. The shot. The nerves involved, believe me, I know. So, Al Henderson, please wait with us. Appreciate you joining us here. This is Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. We are being brought to you in part by Darton Archery, Lucky Buck Deer Mineral.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors. Thank you from Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, Alex Clark in the studios of the Wild Michigan Talk Network. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Pick it up. You can find links to our great sponsors on there. Also, you can pick up the podcast from anywhere in the world, and you can find out for yourself how Al Henderson got to the point of where we're at. Speaking with Al, he is out of Wyoming, and he is the new world record crossbow elk holder, 426 1/8. Al, you borrowed a crossbow from a close friend of yours that picked it up dirt cheap on the Craigslist, and now here comes moment of truth. How did you get this elk in?
Well, it was, as I mentioned before, we were chasing a nice bull, probably a 350 class bull, and when I spotted this one, he was raking a tree, and I couldn't get a great look at him because he was raking the tree and he was behind some other trees, but I knew he was big. I knew he was bigger than the other bull, and so we went towards him, and there were so many elk in the canyon that it was just a frenzy. There were bugles all around us, and we just went straight at this elk. We tried cow calling a few times, and he would respond, but he wasn't about to leave his cows to come down for us. And so he was above us on the side of the ridge. We got fairly close. And he had one of his cows, tried to leave his herd. He went to round her up. And when he went past my shooting lane, he was at 75 yards, and I thought, too far. So I started crawling up the hill on my hands and knees. I got up there, and he chased his cow back across the shooting lane. I wasn't ready, but at that point, he was at 61 yards. The angle was so steep, it was similar to 53-yard shot. So I readied myself just hoping that he would go back across that shooting lane. He was behind some trees. I could see him a little. And at this point, I hadn't had time or a chance to really look at his antlers to see what he was like. I just knew he was the biggest elk I'd ever put my eyes on. And I'll be darned if his cow didn't take him back across that shooting lane a third time. I was able to cow call, stopped him, and made the shot. And when I let it go, I was so excited because it was going straight for his chest. I knew I had him. And as it arrived at the elk, I thought it went under him. I thought I had missed. I was just sick.
Oh, no. So how much longer was it before you heard the big crash before that elk fell?
You know, we didn't hear him fall. Oh. He took off like he'd been shot out of a cannon. And as he was running away with his cows, I heard a crash, and I was so excited. I looked over, and I could see rocks that he had started rolling down the hill. So I thought, no. I turned to my friend Larry, and I said, I missed him. I shot under him. I said, I think I'm going to throw up. And he said he had a video camera, but he didn't have a very good angle. He could only see the back half of the elk when I shot. And so we couldn't even look at the camera to make sure where the shot placement was. He came to me and he says, it sounded like it hit. He says, I think you hit him. And so we went and looked for the bolt for a long time. I knew it had to be there. And finally, Larry got tired of walking around, and he headed down the trail the way the elk had gone. And he came back after just 20 yards or so, and he said, hey, there's blood. You hit him. And so suddenly I got a little bit of hope, and I went down the trail, and he looks and looks and looks, finally finds a single blade of grass with one drop of blood. And I said, you're kidding me. I said, I must have scratched his brisket. I said,
right.
That isn't blood. I went back and started looking for the bolt again, still just sick to my stomach. I was just so mad at myself. And he continued on the trail of the elk, and he came back after another 20 or 30 yards, and he said, there's blood on both sides of the trail. He said, you passed through him.
Oh, unbelievable.
And so we sat there for a while, and then we started following up the trail slowly, and the further we went, the more blood there was. He went about 100 yards, and there was a good pool of blood, and so we were pretty confident then that he was hit hard. We thought at that point that he'd head downhill, because usually when they're hurt bad, they'll go downhill. And so we went down to the next game trail, and no sign of blood. And so I was headed back up to the spot of blood, and Larry looked down that trail that he was standing on and spotted the elk he was down.
Unbelievable. So by this time, trust me, I know the feeling. By this time, you see the elk, it's down, and then you finally get a look. you get a look at that rack, and it's just got to be elation by that time.
Oh, yeah. Talk about a swing of emotions from so excited to being that close to a big bull to depressed because I was sure that I'd shot under him. to actually being able to put my hands on his antlers and know that I'd made a good shot and that we had him, it was unbelievable. But we didn't realize how good he was at that point. We knew it was the biggest elk we'd ever put on the ground by far. But we were trying to guess, you know, just trying to field judge him, and we guessed somewhere around, well, Larry thought 386. You know, he's got to be at least 386. And boy, I was excited to think that I'd put a book-sized bull on the ground. And it was unbelievable when I got home and I actually put a tape on it and I was getting over 400 inches. I called Larry and said, hey, I'm doing this wrong. I'm getting over 400 inches. And he just laughed at me and he said, I've got a 404 on the wall here. And he says, every point on yours is better than this one.
Wow.
So he said, it's got to be over 400.
So you had Safari, a master scorer from Safari Club International, score this thing, and you are now the holder of a world record crossbow elk.
That's kind of hard to believe, actually. And I even had a Boone and Crockett score the elk, just because not all of the records are in Safari Club. And I was curious where he ranked in the state of Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
For Safari Club, he's the biggest bull killed in Wyoming. The next best one is a 408 bull. And so Boone and Crockett scored him, and they came back and told me that according to their records, he's the fourth biggest bull killed in the state of Wyoming.
Wow, and that's pretty impressive in itself, because it's very different. Elk hunting is very different. Speaking with Al Henderson, the world record holder crossbow elk taken out in Wyoming last year. You know, our sponsor Dart and Archery. You had a used Dart and crossbow that your buddy picked up off Craigslist, and Boone and Crockett. You know, how does it compare to the SCI score?
You know, Boone and Crockett does a gross and a net. They take the differences in the tine length from one side to the other. They take the differences in the mass, and you basically get the shortest tine. Let's say you take your G1s. If one is 20 inches and one is 18 inches, you get 18 inches times 2. You lose the extra 2 inches.
Sure.
And so the Boone and Crockett net score is still 408. And he loses most of the difference there is he's a 7 point on one side and 6 on the other.
Okay.
And so I lose 9 inches on that 1 point for the net score. So Boone and Crockett, it rewards elk that are perfectly uniform.
Sure.
SCI basically gives you credit for what was grown. You know, it gives the animal credit for whatever inches of antler he put on his head.
Well, if you don't mind, we're going to put that picture up on our Facebook page, which is already there. Excuse me. And it will be on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, where you can find the interview with Al Henderson, the world record holder out of Wyoming for a crossbow elk. Al, this has been such a fun story, man. Thank you so much for sharing it with us here on Wild Michigan.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Oh, not at all. Al Henderson, world record elk taken with a Dart and crossbow. Michigan-made crossbow makes world record book with Al Henderson. More coming up. We're going to speak with Mike Hoskins from SCI next on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Larry Weissen, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network. Very happy to have everybody here. January, man, what a wild ride it has been already. And we're not even done with January. We come back from the Archery Trade Association show. We've welcomed Dart and Archery to our family. We've welcomed HHA Sports to the family, makers of the Optimizer Kingpin and the Optimizer Light, some great single pin archery sights. Lucky Buck back again with us this year, and we're working hard, man. We're having fun, but working hard to bring new guests, bring some of our old friends together, and to open up your eyes and your ears a little bit about some of the things in the outdoor community. We've done the show. We're going on our 9th year. We've recently been involved with our friends at Safari Club International, the Lansing chapter, trying to dispel a few myths about Safari Club. This is not the old boy, let's go to Africa hunting, club, okay? It's very much like a Pheasants Forever or a Whitetails Unlimited. Look, we're all in the same mindset. We're all looking forward to the preservation and conservation of our wildlife, plain and simple. And Mike Hoskins with Safari Club International Lansing chapter joins me right now. Mr. President, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Duran. Thanks for having me on.
So far, now before you, so there's no pressure, okay? We had a gentleman from Wyoming who is a world record holder of the crossbow elk. That is the category. Safari Club International Master Scorer out in Wyoming. Scored this bull, Mike, 4.26 1/8.
Oh, wow. Got to admit, I did not know that. I'm hearing that first on your show.
And a lot of people are hearing it. A lot of people are hearing this first on the show because he's kind of kept it quiet. He hasn't kept it hidden. He's kept it quiet. And the coolest story about this is his buddy had bought an older Darton crossbow off of Craigslist, and he borrowed the crossbow for this kill.
That's a great story.
It is, and it's so cool because Safari Club International, very involved with all things wildlife, very active in the legal aspect of wildlife. There's a lot of money that goes into protecting what we already invest so much money into hunting and fishing and the preservation of our wildlife, so we have it for generations. Safari Club, very active in that legal battle on a daily basis.
Oh, absolutely, Duran, more so than I ever thought until I became involved in Safari Club. The group is actually, its motto is First for Hunters, and we are the largest hunting advocacy group in the world. We're the only advocacy group that has a office right in Washington, D.C., fighting for the rights of our hunters, protecting our hunters' rights.
Now, Safari Club International, the name kind of scares people, and I'll be honest with you, because I was that guy. You know, it sounds like everybody, you know, there's a bunch of money guys and gals around, and they're all dripping in jewelry, and they go to Africa all the time. It's not like that. I know some of these people firsthand. It is not like that at all.
You're absolutely correct. I have been glad to be able to show you what we're about at our Lansing meetings. It's been fun having you there. I also thought the same thing. And, admittedly, the organization has been around since the early 70s. It's just not done a great job in getting its real message out. Are there people that go to Africa that are involved? Oh, absolutely. But the organization is designed to be first for hunters, every hunter. And it's the group that's out there protecting all hunters' rights. We do a ton of focus on North American hunting. It's especially in Lansing area, in most of the Michigan local chapters, most of the focus is in Michigan and North America. Not a large majority of folks are out there every day going to Africa. That's our members.
No, Mike Hoskins is our guest here with Safari Club International Lansing chapter. Mike, you know, we need to pump some new blood into this organization. And again, by having you on the show, you're a young guy. You're a couple years younger than I am.
Yeah.
So again, this is not the old boys network. It's not like that. But I guess dispelling a few myths is what we're trying to do, to make people understand that this is a group of all ages, men, women, all ethnicities, to get together and protect our hunting rights.
Well, yes, and we saw that most evident here in Michigan this last year, where our hunting rights have been threatened by anti-hunting groups, and all the hunting groups came together under the leadership, I guess, if you will, MUCC and Safari Club. Safari Club drove the ship, I guess you'd say, to get the Scientific Fish and Wildlife Act passed this year, which was a huge move for Michigan hunters that most Michigan hunters don't even know was such a threat to our future hunting rights. And Safari Club really was a catalyst to get all those hunters together. We needed all hunting groups to band together because Safari Club can't do it alone. The individual hunting groups can't do it alone. We had to come together, and that is what Safari Club is designed for, is made to dwell in that political arena where it fights politics and the laws to get our hunting rights protected for all the hunters.
Yeah, and I know the Defend the Hunt, everybody, there are so many involved, our friends at MUCC, Safari Club International, everybody involved, Mike Leonard, a champion, a member of this chapter, a champion to get people out and get signatures and to educate people. This was not all about wolf hunting.
Oh, absolutely. It was not about wolf hunting. It was so critical that we got this passed. Mike Leonard is a member of our Lansing Chapter Safari Club and drives the Defend the Hunt pack. And without Mike driving that at the head of the ship there, this act just wouldn't have gotten passed. He brought together all the hunting groups, and we needed all those groups. And I'm not even going to begin to list them because I'll forget one of the groups, I'm sure. And there's so many hunting groups around the state that came together to get that passed. It was a pivotal act that we got passed successfully.
Now, we're speaking with Mike Hoskins from Safari Club International here on Wild Michigan. Our website is wildmichiganradio.com. Boy, I can talk, Mike. You have a banquet and fundraiser coming up, the 15th annual banquet and fundraiser. This is going to happen on two nights. You have an outfitters night, which is Friday, March 20th, and the banquet and fundraiser is on Saturday, March 21st. I know firsthand there's a lot of cool prizes, but this outfitters night is something a lot of people don't do and kind of unique to Safari Club. If I'm going to this for the first time, what am I going to see?
Well, we're going to bring in outfitters from around the world and the United States. We bring them in to talk to local hunters, talk about what they can do for their hunts for the upcoming year. And we auction off just a ton of these hunts and all over the United States, all over the world. And usually can get just a great price on a hunt that's been vetted by the members. We don't just sign up any outfitter that wants to sell a hunt.
Mm-hmm.
We've tested these guys out, and we know that, of course, with hunting, a harvest is never guaranteed, but hunting is so much more about a harvest, and to have a good hunt and a good experience is
sure.
What it's all about. And so we've got a lot of things happening. It's a dual night ticket, which is really kind of fun. The ticket not only covers the big banquet, the big night of Saturday, but we have kind of a mini banquet on Friday, kind of a scaled down version. Still have auctions and raffles and giveaways, and that's free. That comes automatically with your ticket. You're free to bring a guest that didn't buy a ticket, just to introduce them to what we have going on here with Safari Club.
All right, Mike Hoskins, Safari Club International Lansing. There is a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Check out our events page, and you can find all about that. And Mike, appreciate you joining us. I'm going to say this real quick, got about 10 seconds, but this is the first time I ever had camel, and it was at Safari Club International Outfitter Night. More coming your way next on Wild Michigan.
Still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. As I am sure Mr. Nugent is down at the SHOT Show, as many of our friends are, we're stuck here in Michigan, not Las Vegas. But it's okay because we've got ice on the lakes, we've got some fishing going on, and we're very happy, man. It's been a great year so far this year. Very happy to be working with Dart and Archery, a great Michigan company. Our friends at Lucky Buck out of Osseo, Michigan, another great Michigan company. Our friends over Wisconsin, HHA Sports, makers of the best single pin bow sight in the industry, bar none. Also, we like to feature Michigan companies once in a while, and we happen to find this one on the Facebook, which has been a great tool for locating guests and products and things of the like. And I come across this ice fishing forum type thing that was on there. And Rick Webster, who is part of Coda Pro Products, joins me right now. Tricky Ricky Lures is what he has. One of the products on there. We'll talk about the other one in a minute. But good morning, Rick. Welcome to Wild Michigan, sir. How are you?
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Not at all. This is quite the honor. We've never had had you on the show before. So tell me a little bit about how Tricky Ricky Lures got started, because I'm looking at them. They look like a jigging spoon, but I'm sure you, being the person that produces them, will know better than I.
Right, absolutely. Well, it's something that, you know, my family, these lures that we produce are something that my family has fished with, you know, for generations. And just one day that we were thinking about, we were doing our ice bud, we produced the ice aggressor ice bud, and we had such a good demand with that, we figured, well, we're going to try our hand in ice fishing lures, and what better ones to produce is the ones you used to use when you were younger, you know, when you went fishing. And we're kind of bringing that retro area back, you know, area, and it seems to be working for us. We started those in 2009, it was.
Okay.
And as well as the ice aggressor was 2009, and it just ballooned from there, Duane. It's they're Russian beaded spoons is what we produce.
Okay.
80% of our stock is Russian, you know, beaded spoons. But on the other aspect of it, we do also do the walleye jigging spoons too. But other than that, I mean, we got them in Alaska and Canada. We got them all over the countryside.
Excellent, excellent. Rick Webster is our guest here. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. Describe the jig. I mean, you say old school, and it's funny how a lot of times we get away from what our parents used. Look, ice fishing. Look, we understand ice fishing has come a long way with soft plastics and the like, but sometimes that good old beaded jigging spoon will be a good hit too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Russian beaded spoons, you know, obviously it came from the old boys from Russia came over to immigrated into Michigan, and they brung that technology with them. And they're just, I don't know, I find them fascinating, because every time I go perch fishing, that's, you know, we throw that down there, and that's what we're catching perch with. They're basically geared towards perch, but in the recent past couple of years, people have been dabbling with them with panfish and walleyes and things like that, and been doing really good with them. So we have several different color patterns. Ours are all hand painted, of course, because there's no airbrushing. It's all done with hand brushes and old school way.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm looking at those. I'm looking at your Trick Cray Ultimate Perch Pro Pack here on your website for CodaProducts.com. And that is a lot of hand work going into those. And when you look at those, the overall shape, they do look like a crayfish, and, you know, a small one, and, you know, the crunchy little morsel that perch like.
Well, absolutely. You know, all perch and panfish, they all forage for small crayfish on the bottom of the lakes. And that's kind of our creation. Our friend up in Canada, Gord Pfizer, did an article about jumbo perch fishing, and he was explaining how they were foraging for little baby crayfish. So one day we got the idea, you know, we're just going to try to build a lure that resembles a crayfish, and we call them our Trick Crays. and they've been doing rather well, actually. I mean, it mimics a crayfish swimming. You know how a crayfish, when it goes down into the water,
sure,
it kind of does that loop thing when it goes down in, and fish just love those. But that's kind of a different. It's not really a Russian beaded spoon. That's a different lure altogether. There,
it is. And to be honest with you, that is like nothing I've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, you've got those two. Now, are those blades connected, or are they loose hanging? So when it drops down, they're kind of fluttering a little bit, like a crayfish would.
No, those are actually soldered. All our lures are soldered together. You know, hand soldered, and incidentally, we use all Mustad hooks too. We don't use anything but Mustad. We stick with quality. And but yeah, those little fins that mimic the pinchers, those are soldered right to the body itself.
Wow! So yeah, that's got to create a pretty unique fluttering motion when that hits the water.
Absolutely, it does. It really does mimic a crayfish.
Nice. Speaking with Rick Webster from Tricky Ricky Lures, Coda Products. I'm sorry, CodaProProducts.com is the website. Duran Martinez, your host here on the Michigan Talk Network. We'll pop up a link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. Now, your bead danglers, those are the ones. It's a spoon, but you got a bit of a bead and a little blade on there, and probably causing some flash and maybe a little sound as well.
Yeah, those are called our bead danglers. And it's basically a Russian beaded spoon, but we threw a Colorado blade on the end of it to create more flash. And Lake Simcoe in Canada is having really good results with these.
Yeah, you know, that's a very popular lake for a lot of Michigan guys heading up north.
And that's a nice lake.
Now, do you ever jig these in open water, too, that's not hard water, maybe some tighter weed areas?
Well, everybody, if you're fortunate enough to have a boat, you know, people will jig these off the side of their boat, you know, Saginaw Bay area, wherever you're fishing for perch. And it's, you know, no different than ice fishing. Once you locate that school of perch, if you're fortunate enough to have the fish finder.
Right. See, you are hitting me where I live. You know, if you're fortunate enough to have a boat, which I don't. But I do have a very nice portable fish finder that I could use year round. So I think I told you, if I have to pay for it all year, I want to have to be able to use it all year. That's probably Absolutely. Why I don't have a motorcycle or a boat or a snowmobile.
Right.
Rick Webster, Coda Pro Products, is our guest here. We are being brought to you in part by HHA Sports, single pin archery technology, tops in the industry. Now, this all got started. You know, we talked a little bit about the Tricky Ricky lures, but your family has been producing an ice spud for a while now. How'd that all get started?
Well, that got started as it all links back to my grandfather, actually. When I was a young boy, I'd go ice fishing with him, and he had this homemade spud that he would use all the time when we went ice fishing. And he was a welder by trade, so he pretty much made everything that he needed to use. You know, back then, he just made it. And instead of running to the local store to buy it. Well, anyway, every time, you know, I could remember back when we would go, everybody would say, hey, where'd you get that? Could I borrow that, you know, or whatever? And one day I was on a lake fishing with my wife's cousin, and he says, where'd you get that? And I said, well, I made that. And he says, yeah, you really ought to try to market those. I said, well, you know, I've heard that a lot of times.
Sure.
And I said, you know what, I'm going to go for it. So being a welder by trade myself, I said, well, we fabbed up a bunch of them, and I started doing some calling, and the first few people weren't interested, but then I finally got in touch with Dunham Sporting Goods, and we set up a meeting, and I met with the buyer, and he absolutely loved them, and he's been putting them in their store since 2010, I believe it was, and we supply 88 of Dunham Sporting Goods stores across the USA. So, and that worked out rather well. You know, and of course, we have them in several different bait shops across Michigan, too.
Sure.
If we can keep them in there, they sell so fast when we get them there.
Well, you know, a good spud is pretty doggone important. Our good friend Brian Brosdahl is very, very adamant about having a good spud, especially when it comes to first ice when testing.
Yeah.
And Rick Webster, Tricky Ricky Lures, there'll be a link on our website to Coda Pro Products, Michigan company. You guys are based out of Midland, correct?
Yeah, Midland, Michigan, yeah.
Excellent. You know, and that's, again, this is what the cool thing about Facebook is, is we find you guys and we can seek you out to bring you to the show here. We appreciate it. Also, real quickly, give me the name of your Facebook page for your ice fishing forum.
Oh, yeah, that's called Shanny Secrets.
Yes.
And I don't remember that. I couldn't really give you the link to it.
That's all right. We'll have that up there. Find our Facebook page, WildMichiganRadio.com. Rick Webster, Tricky Ricky Lures, Coda Pro Products. And thanks again to Al Henderson, world record elk holder with a crossbow. So much fun stuff today. More coming your way. Whole another hour. This is Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network.